afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Christy Stratton.
And today, Christy and I are going to talk about Pat Benatar.
That's right, Patty B.
Now look, she's getting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame finally.
Yes.
Is it deserved?
Of course it's deserved. Here's my question. When Elton John was inducted, was he inducted with Bernie Taupin or on his own?
I got to assume with Bernie.
Really?
Well, I mean, I think, I don't know, may, I mean.
Because look, I'm happy, but it's like, it's her and the husband. And believe me, he's terrific. And
yeah, he's
they
great.
Are going strong. And I mean, like, they really come off as going strong. Now, and let's
right.
hope it's not a Tony Tennille thing, where like, at, now that she's in, she jettisons, you know, the captain.
Well,
like an old shoe.
I mean, he produces the albums. He co-wrote every. I mean, if they could go back in time, they'd probably call it the Benatar Giraldo Band, or she would probably just be Pat Giraldo. She doesn't
right.
even. She doesn't even want that Benatar name. She doesn't really.
Really,
I don't
it's so
think
cool.
So. We actually know her. The Benatar. We know the Benatar, the first husband.
Oh,
we know his. We know his. New wife. I don't know how to say it without getting in trouble.
Okay.
Anyway.
Nice.
Anyway, that's what we know. We don't know the good Benatar, which is Pat.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
But and he's getting in with her.
I think
that was a stipulation.
Like, well, you know what?
Like would he like look, if you were getting an Emmy Award, you wouldn't say, hey, my husband has to get it too.
No, I wouldn't.
And he wouldn't say, well, you can't have it without me.
Well, he has little to nothing to do with my
exactly.
output
maybe a,
creatively.
Maybe a bad example. Maybe a bad
but
example.
But to me, the Bernie Taupin one is a good example, so I'm very curious.
Let me look it up. Let me try to find it.
But I'm supportive and think they're great, and this is exciting, and all of that.
Yeah, yeah, it seems like he should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Elton, like together as a duo.
Right. Maybe they just put him in later because I'm assuming he's in.
He's got to be in. And yeah, I'm not seeing any. And I, you know, I just might not be finding it, but I'm not seeing like any awards, like a page of awards for him.
Hmm.
Maybe he didn't get. Maybe he's like in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, but maybe he's not. He's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame as of 1992. I don't see that he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah. All right.
All right. It's weird.
Well.
There's a lot of crazy rules with this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I mean, if she wanted it, then that's all that matters. Like, if she's like,
she
look,
wants,
I want
like,
it.
I feel like she
great.
She feels like he's part of the success, big time.
Great.
So.
That's all that matters.
Done deal.
Yes.
All right. First album, In the Heat of the Night. By the way, Christy, you've been staying in our house for a week.
I have.
Can I say that?
Yes.
You've been here for a week. And I
yes.
haven't. And people probably think that I'm like bothering you, and I haven't bothered you at all.
No.
Nope. This is the first time.
There are several, like, in the morning, hey, you want some coffee bean? It's very kind and
I
nice.
Get no, and no response.
No, I think I've one time, but
one
usually
time.
It's either I've woken up late and I missed it, but it's very kind. It's nice to just have, I'm an only child, Pat, and so my alone time, I just need it. I need it. And my son is at sleepaway camp.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, what better time to just, you know, be with my thoughts and do some, I had some meetings and some work I have to do and blah, blah, blah. But and especially with COVID and just not being able to have me time. And it's a great space. When I leave Las Vegas, I want that to be in that room because it is so lovely and comfortable. The creature comforts.
You can't off yourself in our apartment.
No, of course.
Fonzie apartment because it's above the garage.
Oh.
By the way, when I open the garage, is it like Pilar thinks it sounds like an earthquake up here when the garage door opens?
No, I hear it, but it's
you can hear it.
It's not a big deal.
I tell her that all the time. She tells everyone, "Oh, when you're up there, if we open the garage, it sounds like there's an earthquake." It doesn't sound like that.
It is interesting how many times a day, though, y'all need to access your garage.
I do go into the garage a lot. I do go into the garage
more than the average person, which is fine. You must have a great garage.
That's where my Playboy collection is.
Oh.
What did I have to get? No, I was fixing the screen door. What else was I doing? I was doing a bunch of like handyman stuff around the house today, and I had to, like, I don't like to leave the garage open because there's a lot of critters in Woodland Hills.
Oh, okay. Because I hear them on the roof.
Yeah, isn't mm-hmm. that crazy?
Yeah. No, we have critters too. So this is not.
But they're
know.
Like they're not in the car. They're on the roof.
Yeah,
and it's like, what the heck? I hate. It's weird. But so I don't like to leave the garage open because they're going to go in. So if I open it to get something, then I shut it.
Yeah. No, that's.
And then I open it again to put that thing away. And then I shut it. So there's four times.
This is the cutest neighborhood. I adore it. I have my little walk that I, because I walk to the Blue Bottle and I get my sweet latte, non-fat milk. And so I walk through and there's jasmine and there's fruit trees and it's just lovely. I can't walk where I am. It's just too mm-hmm. hilly.
Yeah.
So it's just very nice to, and then I put the headphones on and, you know.
Noise canceling?
No, they're the.
You don't want to walk beats. Into traffic.
No, I stay on the sidewalk. That's another thing. Encino has no sidewalks.
No, it doesn't.
I love sidewalks.
I mean, some of the sidewalks are like this. Like
sure, you got to keep an eye out.
Be careful. What's your pace when you're walking? Is it brisk?
It's brisk. It's brisk. And that's why, like, I walk alone because I love Gary, but he's slow. He's slow. And yeah. I like to move.
Pilar walks slow too, but I was hiking with Murray once and he was like, "Where? What's the rush?" I go, "This is just my pace. This is how I go. I'm like the pace car at the
right?
The 500.
There's no reason. If you're out getting exercise,
then you should do it.
Yes.
You should get some exercise.
Hello.
All right. Good deal. What else was I going to ask you? Many projects. We can't talk about them. I know. You know
well, so we'll see.
You've alluded to them. Jurassic Park 7. I don't know if I can say that. But anyway, I'm glad you're getting work done. I'm glad we've left you alone. And I'm glad you're comfortable.
And Sugarfish delivers here. I don't get good
because it's
sushi
right over
delivery.
In Calabasas.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I it's thrilling.
Do you still go to the sushi spot?
Yes.
Now, when I was over at your house last time, Gary was pointing out like some houses in the hill.
Oh,
like he's
uh-huh.
like he said I think he said that's Matt LeBlanc's house.
Yes.
And he either said you have a Matt LeBlanc story or a Tom Petty story. Do you have either one of those?
Well, I know Matt LeBlanc. I've seen Matt LeBlanc a couple times at the sushi spot.
But that's not a story.
No, I don't know that I have a story. Like Tom Petty's, the famous one, that house that burnt down, if you know Tom Petty's history, is right below my neighbor. Selena Gomez is in there now.
Okay.
And I, like, it's not on my street, but the neighbor, even though the neighbor's next door, it's above this house. And apparently the... John Wayne's son, whose name is Michael Wayne. He's
this is
long
more name
since,
dropping than when
long,
David Wilde's here.
This is long. He's long dead.
Okay.
But Michael Wayne would tell his daughter that he could hear Bob Dylan and Tom Petty playing music. It would come up from the hills. He would just open his, you know, doors and just hear this music. And anyway.
So now Selena Gomez lives in Tom Petty's old house?
Yes. They fixed it up. I guess the fire was many years ago.
Yeah.
But she bought that, and it's turned into this celebrity enclave. And you guys, my house is not that. Let me just be very clear. I am proud of the work that I've done.
Christie's house is very nice.
But it is not these homes. And I think because we're not on a grid, and you can have a house that has trees around it, and then that you don't even know exists there
right.
because it's just not on a... So people who want privacy and just to... It's just become... And what's happening is on my... There's a street that connects to my street. There was a ranch house.
Okay.
Fine ranch house. I'm sure it was $1.5 million. Tore it down, built a $5 million house on it, and Michael B. Jordan moved in.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I can see it from my house. But it's so, because again, we're normal. It's a normal house. It's fine.
You're celebrity adjacent though.
Yes. It's crazy.
It's like anywhere in LA though. You'll drive down a street and there's normal houses. And you turn the corner and you're like, what the hell is this street?
Right.
What's going on here?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So it's crazy.
It's
but you're
crazy.
But you're up in there, and I like that. I like the Selena Gomez story. Mm. Do you watch that Murders in Our Building?
I do. The new season just started.
I know. We haven't watched it yet. We just finished a show called The Bear on Hulu.
How is that?
I loved it.
Really?
It's really good. Yeah.
Okay.
I liked it a lot. My two recommendations for shows right now are that, and I Love That for You.
Okay, because I started that, but I need to commit to it because I love her, Vanessa Bayer.
So hysterical. Do you watch Barry?
No reason. I just haven't gotten into it. Okay. And that's supposed to be wonderful, I'm sure.
She was in a scene in this past season of Barry. She was in one scene. She played like a television exec. Mm. And it was literally, there was really no dialogue. They're like, this show's a little bit, and it needs to be a little bit, And they just kept doing that back and forth. And they had so many different variations of it. And it was so funny.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was funny. All right, Pat Benatar.
Yes.
She's getting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She's got 4 Grammy Awards.
Deserved.
Best rock female vocalist. I think 4 years in a row she won it.
Her voice is incredible.
First 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. First 6 albums all went platinum. And a couple went multi-platinum.
And she's like, I'm going to commit to a short haircut and y'all are going to think I'm sexy anyway.
Yep. Spandex and a short haircut.
I mean.
Doesn't care. That's what she's going to do. Have you ever had your hair short?
Oh, yeah. Remember when Gwyneth Paltrow had that? It was long in the front and then just real short. It was right around the time Diana died.
Yeah.
That whatever year that was.
Yep.
I had that cut and I liked it.
And then why did you give that up on it?
I don't know.
All right.
Maybe because I saw too many pictures of my profile and I'm like, this is not okay. I don't know.
When I met Pilar, she had short hair and she would tell everyone that was the worst haircut she ever had. And I thought it looked great.
Aww.
What are you going to do?
No.
My hair's coming out, so I don't care what people have.
Enjoy. You have a lot more than most. Feel good about that, Pat.
Look, I do. I'll be 60 in a year and a half. What?
I just can't. I remember when you turned 50.
I know.
That's when we started becoming friends.
I know.
Mm.
10 years.
Yeah.
Let's take a moment.
All right. A moment of silence.
All right. Here we go. Pat Benatar.
Yes.
Where's your phone at?
Right here.
I'm going to ask you to put that on the floor.
Oh.
Just because it'll make a buzzing sound. Oh. If you don't need it at the ready.
Okay. There it goes.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm just asking.
No.
So, you picked some songs.
I picked some songs. And I'm interested to see your songs because I have to tell you that I don't like to just pick the hits.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I feel a little with her with some of the records. It's like Queen for me, where the hits are amazing and then the other songs in the middle are okay.
Yeah.
But other than Crimes of Passion, which that's my jam. I've got like I could pick every single song off that, and I only picked a few. But so I did go. I'm hit heavy.
That's okay because the hits are kind of undeniable.
Yes.
And it's not. It's this isn't Pat Benatar deep cuts. It's just whatever songs you like.
Sure. All right.
So first album is In the Heat of the Night, and what song do you have for us?
I have We Live for Love.
All right. Let's hear some of that. Oops.
That she sounds great in the high and in the low. Sounds great. I like that production. I think that still sounds really good.
Let me see who produced that. I think it was Mike Chapman. I could be wrong. That's off the top of my head. Let me find out. Scrolling. Yeah, Mike Chapman.
Hmm.
You know, he produced the first Knack album.
Oh.
Produced all the Suzy Quatro stuff. Blondie. So, yeah.
She's your new best friend, Suzy Quatro.
Suzy Quatro is my new best friend. Yep. The last time she was on, I said, when are you coming to LA to perform? She goes, I said, I want to meet you. She goes, when I do, front row.
That's awesome.
What she said. I'll hold her to that. I have her direct email. Like when I email,
oh my gosh,
when I email for her, it's her.
Do you talk about Leather Tuscadero?
Oh yeah, we
ever
did. Yeah.
Okay.
She's been on three times. The last time she was on, I asked her, I said, if and when you get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who should induct you? And she said, it has to be Joni, meaning Aaron Moran. Meaning Joan Jett.
Oh, I was like, what?
That's what she called her. I'm pretty sure she called her Joni.
Oh.
Because I said, Joan's probably bummed that she's in and you're not. She's like, yeah, she's told me she is. Now, I don't know if Susie Quattro gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or not, because she never really broke here in America,
right,
other than Happy Days and Stumbling In.
Right.
But she wants to be in.
Yeah, who wouldn't? Sure. I want to be in. I feel like it might be too late for me.
You might get in.
David Wilde. How do we get David Wilde in?
I think he gets to vote.
Yeah, he does.
Did you help him 1 year with his
ballot?
I helped
him 1 year, but then I did not get asked back. I did not get asked back to work on that ballot.
How does the helping with the ballot go?
We just discussed all the ones, and he, you know, there was ones that he's like, well, this is my friend and I want to do this. I'm like, great. And so I got one that he wouldn't have done had I not been there, which was Devo.
Okay.
And they still didn't get in. Yeah.
I know.
But that was my one influence.
I'm hoping the next time the ceremony is in Ohio, that's when they'll get in, since they're from Ohio.
Oh, okay. You know, but I think this year?
This year is in LA.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So you could go. You can get tickets and go.
Oh my God, that's right.
So a lot of good people. Eurythmics, Duran Duran.
Yeah, yeah.
Pat. Well, Carly.
Yeah, it's a good group.
It's a good group.
It was a good group.
Yeah, the ballot this year, I was like, you know, if any of these, whoever gets in, I'm fine with.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much.
Sure.
Eminem's getting in. That's not my music, but
It's not my music, but I get it.
Of course.
You know, I get it.
Wildly popular.
Yes.
How can you say no?
I love the Eurythmics, but when you're looking at, like, the fact that Devo, like, the bands that get in before Devo, it's crazy to me.
Especially when it's bands that maybe Devo influenced.
I think so too. I think they kind of, I don't know. Anyway, they're all wonderful and, you know, I'm not angry.
And I'm all for people getting in when they're alive too.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because when they get in after, you know, half the band's dead, that's weak.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Agreed.
All right.
Do you have one from...
I have a song from In the Heat of the Night. Ooh. And this one was written by John Mellencamp or Cougar. But I like her version.
Not a smoker.
No.
I mean, that voice, it still holds up. She's not smoking.
I don't think so. I've never seen a picture of her smoking or on stage smoking.
No,
nothing.
No, she takes care.
So many covers on this album. There's a Mellencamp cover. There's a Nick Gilder cover, an Alan Parsons Project cover, a Sweet cover. And there's only, Pat only has two writing credits on this first album, and even Neil Giraldo wrote one song. So, yeah. So, like a covers album almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe they made her, you know.
True. We Live
Women
for Love. Your song was one written by Neil Giraldo. He wrote that song.
It's a great song.
All right, I have one more off this album, then we'll move to Crimes of Passion, and you can dominate.
Excellent.
All right. This is Heartbreaker.
And
All right, Christy, here's a title fight. Who do you choose? Led Zeppelin's Heartbreaker or Pat Benatar's Heartbreaker?
Pat's without even smallest hesitation.
All right.
It's such a better song. It's just a better song.
All right. Look at that. Holding her ground.
I mean.
Wow. What time are you an early riser?
You know, I didn't used to be, but now, like, I don't know. Every now and then I'll go through bouts of sleep issues. And so now I kind of have waking up late, but I don't know. I'm not too early because I'll get up and I'll do the Wordle. You know, I'll do the I do the Wordle, I do the Quartle, I do the spelling bee.
Oh my God!
And then when I get my coffee is when I do the crossword puzzle. But the letterbox. So I do all of those puzzles in the morning. It's a ton of puzzles, but it really gets me going. Mm-hmm. It gets my brain going, and I honestly feel like I'm sharper because of it. And the puzzles have only, I don't know, I'm sorry I'm going off on this tangent, but they only came along during COVID.
Here's what I looked up today, and this has to do with Wordle. The free dictionary lists more than 158,000 words with five letters.
Hmm.
So, because I was wondering, I'm like, when are they going to run out of words on this Wordle? So I looked that up. Wow. 158,000 words with five letters. Some of those have to be words that we don't know. I don't know them.
Well, the one today, did you get it today?
Didn't
I'm like,
do it
this
yet.
This isn't a word. They once the New York Times took it over, it seems as though they're trying to trick us.
Yeah.
Whereas before, they weren't trying. They were just, right. Hey, here's a word that you may know. But yeah. No, they like to try to trick you.
I hate when there's a double vowel or a double letter.
Yep. Yep.
What was the word that I had a ton of trouble with was K-N-O-L-L. I was
So
I'm like, what is this? I got it, but I think it took six.
Oh, or the rhymes. Like, I'm like, all right, I got two more and there's seven words that rhyme with this word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if it's like, if it's blank, L-I-N-K, and you're like, well, it could be blink.
Mm-hmm.
Is it clink?
Right.
I mean, you're just like, is it plink?
Right.
Is plink even a word? I don't know. But yeah, I hate that. I've been burned on that before.
Burned.
Hate it. Wordle. I do it though.
Yeah. First thing in the morning.
I just do it midday.
Really?
I know a friend.
How do you wait? I can't wait.
I don't know. I'm doing I don't know. But I have a friend that does it right after midnight.
Oh.
He stays up to midnight, right after midnight. Does it first thing and then he goes to sleep.
All right.
What about sleep? What time do you go to sleep? Because like I would look at Words with Friends in the morning and it would say like when you did your last play, and then I'd go, oh, then she was up till whatever.
Again, I've just had lately some just sleep things. I'll go through periods where I sleep like a baby and then a period where I, you know, don't.
Do you take a melatonin?
I'll sometimes take an alprazolam or I have these sleep gummies that I'll sometimes take. But when you take the gummies and they don't put you to sleep, it's like I wasted 40 calories.
Is that CBD?
No. It's one's from Hims and Hers, and one's a brand that I just got at the Target.
Yeah, Murray takes a gummy, which I think has some marijuana or something in
it.
Okay. And he gets loopy when he takes that, and then he just like passes out.
Okay. Yeah, this isn't that. I don't know. Right. I'm not. It's... Yeah, I'm not that.
All right, Crimes of Passion, 1980.
Okay, 1980, you guys, was a big year for me. I had a stepsister who was older. She was in high school. And she was part of the Columbia Record and Tape Club.
So you said you're an only child, but you do have steps.
No, I do. I have a stepbrother from my dad's side, but Dawn was only part of our lives for a year and a half or so. The stepsister.
All right. Not in contact anymore.
Oh, God, no.
Wouldn't know where she was for $1 million.
I wouldn't know where
don't
she
care.
Was. No, I wouldn't say that. I think I might have looked her up on the internet.
When you win a Grammy, she's going to look you up.
So she, that year was big because she had Back in Black.
Mm-hmm.
She had Devo, Freedom of Choice.
Yep.
And she had Crimes of Passion. And on 8-track. I mean, that was her format
of choice.
Yes, that was the format of choice was 8-track. And so I listened to it a lot. We shared a room. I listened to it a lot. So I have a few from that because I think it's so wonderful. And the first one I'm going to play is You Better Run.
All right.
I think this album is when she, that style, that distinctive style of hers, the look kind of evolved yes. into, with the hair and the pants.
And another stripes. Cover, that's a cover by the Young Rascals.
It is?
Yeah. Yep.
I did not know that.
Let me see if I can find their version. I'll play it for you so you can get a taste of that.
Because it's so, to me, it's so feminine. Like, that's, anyway.
So you're sharing this room with this stepsister. What's the age difference between you two?
I don't know. Maybe 5 years.
And she's older.
Yeah, and she's beautiful. And she could feather the hair like Farrah Fawcett. She could hot roll and then feather. And I could barely do sausage curls. Like, I barely just, I could not do anything.
Did you like sharing a room with this new strange person?
She was, could kind of be mean sometimes.
Yeah, that's not good. Because she's older, she's right. going to be mean to the younger person.
Right.
Boo.
But she was very pretty. And she was on the drill team.
All right.
And she just was very cool.
So and you kind of wanted to be like her.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's the Young Rascals with You Better Run. Here it comes. It's going to kick in a minute. I know it is. Come on, play. There we go. So different.
Yeah.
What you trying to do to my heart? What you trying to do to my heart? You go around telling lies. You're fooling around with the other guy. What you trying to do to my heart? You better run.
Great too.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah, that 60s production.
Yeah.
She really made it her own, I'll tell you. Like,
yes.
Like, who would even think to bring that song to her? It's so wild. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You said, you know what, you should try this song. But they did.
Mm.
All right. What else you got on Crimes of Passion?
I have a couple other. In fact, one I put at number 10, but I'll do three first.
Okay.
This
I'll
is,
do whatever order you
oh,
say.
Oh, but what? Okay. Do you have things you want to throw in?
I am going to end the show with the big hit from this album.
Okay.
So.
All right.
We all know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to say it. You know.
Right. All right. This one is called Never Want to Leave You.
All right.
Right?
That is great. And that was written by Neil and Pat.
Oh.
This album sold 4 million copies. This is her big one. This is her biggest seller. It's great. Sophomore surge.
Yeah.
No slump.
Something very just sexy and yet empowering and just all the great things anyway, with about lady rockers all there, and that beautiful voice that she can push big, or she can pull it back and make it small. Yeah. Like, it's really,
and she's tiny, else. Tiny lady.
Oh yeah,
she's just, yeah, like 5 foot or something. I read her book. She had to do all this stuff at the radio stations with the creepy DJs and everything. They always wanted her to sit on their lap and all this stuff.
No.
And she just went, you know, she just did it, you know what I mean? Played the game until she got to a point where, like, I'm not fucking doing that anymore.
Oh,
good for
gosh.
Her, thank God.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Ew. Do you want me to go to the, because I've got more from that record.
Yeah, do this. Okay. Let's do
this
the other
one. This is another cover. Again, when I'm 10, I don't know from covers.
Right.
And Kate Bush, everyone's talking about Kate Bush now.
Right
with
now,
the,
we're talking
which
about
is, which is so interesting to me because I'm not caught up on my Stranger Things. But I guess none of the, there's no overlap to Handmaid's Tale because there's two songs that are featured very big in Handmaid's Tale and no one talked about it. So I guess it just doesn't have a big enough audience.
I think because kids aren't really watching Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
Now they're picking up on the song. It's probably in a bunch of TikToks and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Because Rita knows the song. She's not watching Handmaid's Tale.
Right. Okay.
But,
well, Handmaid's used Woman's Work and... Oh God! What is the name of it?
Woman's Work makes me cry every time.
Something good is gonna happen.
What is that one?
Anyway, I can't think of the name.
It's not Running Up That Hill.
No, it is not. And I didn't even know how. Like, I'm like, that song was okay. Like, I didn't love it, but hearing it now, I'm like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Maybe as a kid, I just couldn't really get into it.
Yeah, as a kid, you're not. You know, you like what you like and you just other stuff you like. Like, I always tell this story. My uncle would get me albums for Christmas.
Okay.
And I never liked what he got me.
Okay. Like, what are some of the albums?
Oh, when I tell you, they're like my favorite albums now.
Okay.
But at the time, my mom's like, what do you think of the albums Uncle Richard got you? I'm like, I don't like any of them. Here's what they were. Talking Heads, Remain in Light.
Okay.
Pretenders debut.
Uh-huh.
Elvis Costello, My Aim Is True. What's the other one? But they're all like that. And I was just like, ugh, where's my REO Speedwagon album? You know, because it was just
funny.
Yeah, because I mean, I have Boston and Journey and Styx. And so this is not that. This is like, I don't know what this is.
So how long before you started listening to those then?
A while. Probably Pretenders was probably the first one. Then I'm like, okay, well, because I started seeing videos on MTV.
Okay.
And then I'm like, oh, I think I have that album. And then I would go and I'm, oh. But yeah, but at first when he would hand them to me, I'm like, no.
That's
I do not want these.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, this song it's a cover of Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights, which I didn't even know it was a cover or anything until years later. But here is Pat's version.
And when you hear her voice on this, you can hear Kate Bush kind of.
Right. It's less silly than Kate Bush. And I props to Kate Bush. She's a genius, but it's less silly to me.
Don't add us.
Wily, windy moors, we'd roll and fall in green. You had a temper like my jealousy, too hot, too greedy. How could you leave me when I needed to possess you? I hated you, I loved you too.
Like, it gives me chills. I love it. I love it. I love it. And again, hers is wonderful, but it's like, hey, I'm a little bit like a bash.
Like,
whereas this is more elegant, but then it rocks. It gets in and rocks you.
Yeah, I'm still not 100% all in on Kate Bush. I'm still, okay. She's still a little, out there for my taste. Yeah.
Yes.
If I want witchy music, I'll listen to some Belladonna by Stevie
okay.
Nicks.
Yeah.
But I bet Kate Bush made more money from this being on this Pat Benatar album than she did from recording it on her own.
Oh, I'm sure.
Without a doubt. She was
without
like,
a doubt.
She's probably like, yeah, record as many as you want, Pat.
Because I don't think I even knew who she was until MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Running Up That Hill, that was a video. I remember that.
Yes.
And then She's Having a Baby. Woman's Work was very prominently featured in that movie.
Yes,
in fact,
such a great song.
It's so... It's like that. How it's so ingrained that, like, oh, I wonder if they knew of the song before they wrote that scene. I don't know.
John Hughes probably did because he was pretty hip with the music.
Right.
Anyway, Precious Time. That's the next album.
Oh, wait. I have one more, but I was put it at the end in case we run out of time.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
It's number 10. This is another one from my beloved Crimes of Passion. This is I'm Gonna Follow You.
All right. It's a stalker song.
Yes. It's so good. It's weird and love it.
Written by Billy Steinberg. He's half of the songwriting duo of Tom Kelly and Steinberg, or Kelly and Steinberg. Here's some of the songs they wrote together. Christy, you ready? Like a Virgin, True Colors by Cyndi Lauper, Eternal Flame by the Bangles, So Emotional, Whitney Houston, Alone by Heart, I Touch Myself.
I love that song. I love all of these.
I'll Stand By You by the
Good
Pretenders.
Lord.
I mean, look at that. Those guys have some mailbox money coming.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I don't, and I mean, saying it, I'm like, oh yeah, they sound somewhat familiar, but not as familiar as some of the other names that you hear a lot of.
Right.
And those songs are all wonderful. And I love it when someone can capture something that's very, that just feels very authentically feminine. And
those are two guys writing all those songs that female artists covered.
And very authentically, very, anyway, that's interesting.
Way to go, Kelly Steinberg.
Yeah.
Precious Time, 1981. This is my favorite Pat Benatar album.
Okay.
I mean, Crimes of Passion is just amazing, but just Precious Time, for some reason, really, with the two songs you chose, just kick the album off perfectly. I'm going to jump into track three, which is a cover of a Paul Revere and the Raiders song, and it's called Just Like Me. Just a rocker.
It's so, and she can be, have it clean, have that clean belt, or she can kind of rough it up
like
a little bit.
Rasp it up.
Yeah.
Give it her best Bryan Adams.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Johnny is at camp. Johnny Mann's at camp.
Yes.
How long, is this a camp he's gone to for like many summers?
Yes. A few.
Sleepaway camp.
Yes. How 2 long? Weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Is there any contact with him during the 2 weeks?
No. I mean, he can write us, and they
he's not going to do that.
Well, they kind of hand him a postcard when they get there, like, write your parents. Like, they just do that. And we can, you can't send anything because they don't want care packages. Like, so some kids get stuff and some kids don't.
It makes
don't.
The other kids feel bad.
Right. So they're like, you can write letters and you can write emails that they will print out and fold up and hand to your kid as if it's a letter.
Okay.
But there's no contact unless there's an emergency.
And there's no electronics.
None.
No phone. Nothing.
No.
None of that.
No phone, no light, no motor car.
Is it weird not having contact with your kid for 2 weeks?
Weird? No. Like it physically hurts me,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like, I'm glad that he is off having adventures and being independent, because being independent has helped me in my life immensely. So he's living in a time, as you know, you have children, where you don't have to fix things or learn how to do stuff. And he can't even, the other day, I'm like, unlock the door with the key. And he's like, huh? He's 12. Yeah. He cannot unlock a door with a key, y'all.
I had a moment like that the other day. If I can remember what it was, but I was just like, you're joking, right? I mean, you're 17. Are you kidding me? Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not like, it's good. In fact, Gary in New York, they go away for the whole summer. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to work towards like, all right, do you want to go for a month next year? That kind of thing. And every moment I am away from him, I'm in physical pain, but I know it's good for
him. And he wants to go. He's not like...
Correct. I mean, he'll always be like, I'm going to miss you guys. But then he'll be like, oh, I can't wait to, you know, shoot a rifle or a bow and arrow or an axe.
He turns to the corner and goes, they bought it. Suckers.
But the one thing I'm like, just try to water ski this year. Just try. And there is, because what they do is every day.
Can you water ski?
No, that's the thing, is I can't. So okay. I can't.
Can you snow ski?
Yes. And he does too.
All right.
He's a very athletic kid.
Yes.
Very. He played flag football. Mm-hmm. He is plays baseball. That's his sport. He plays, like, he's athletic. But he just does. And years ago, so they print these pictures on the website.
Okay.
It's random, and sometimes your kid is featured and sometimes they're not.
You scroll through and you hope you see them.
And so one year, everyone in his cabin tried it but him. And so I'm like, Johnny, just try it this year. Mm-hmm. Just try. And there is a picture of him, and he's not even standing on the ski. He's holding on to the board, and his face, I will show you. It is just pain, a pained expression.
What's he afraid of?
I don't know. It just is the sensation he just isn't into. Right. And he loves,
he swims.
Snorkeled. Yeah. It's not that. It's just something about it. But
maybe he doesn't feel in control, because this, like when you're snow skiing, it's just you. But now a boat is pulling me.
Right.
How fast is that going to be?
Right.
I'm just wondering.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm
putting myself in his head.
Yeah, I tried it one time. In Texas, there's a lot of lakes. There's a lot of water. And I tried it once, and I'm like, nope. So he's got that gene.
Yeah. And what about Gary? Can he water ski?
I think he probably could. He talks. He's always like, oh, I'm not very athletic. But he is. If you play him in some kind of pickup game or whatever, he'll be competitive. Like, he's not nothing sports-wise.
Yeah, you downplay it, though, and then you think, you were better than you said you were. Oh, I just got lucky.
Yeah.
I love it. Precious Time, what do you got for us?
Oh, okay. I've got, this is Shadows of the Night.
No.
No.
That is from Get Nervous.
Oh, I put it in order. I guess I did not.
Yeah.
Which
that's
one
the only one that's
you?
Out of order.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
That's
that
okay.
One goes after. Okay. So this is, Promises in the Dirk.
Yes. Big on MTV. The voice gets a workout on this one.
I mean...
Just a little instrumentation in there, but then this song just takes off. Yes.
Great.
The guitar is great. Neil Giraudo is highly underrated guitar player. Whenever I've seen them live, he is killing it.
Is it still the same group of folks, or just him and some?
It's not these guys, but the band that they have has been a unit for 20 years.
Mm.
You know, the drummer, Myron Grombacher, he can walk there. He sells Porsches at the Porsche dealership down here on Ventura Boulevard.
Whoa.
I know. And he would never get recognized because when he has red hair that's all like spiky and crazy. He's all skinny when he's in this band. But then you put that in a suit and tie and comb the hair down and put glasses on. Just looks like a guy selling cars.
Oh my gosh.
So I wonder what that's like to have toured the world.
Right.
With hits.
Yeah.
Big albums with Pat Benatar.
Yeah.
And now you're at the Porsche dealership. Must like it. He must like
it. I was going to say, like, it sounds like a lot easier, right?
Yeah.
Less grueling.
Yeah. True. True.
Family man. Fewer groupies. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's a family man now. He's a, you know, calm down a little bit. All right. What's my next song from Precious Time? Oh, I have It's a Tough Life. Let me see the. Neil Giraldo wrote this one. Okay. You got to get that?
No.
You can take it.
No. It's Walgreens.
Put them on.
It is a robot. Your prescription is ready.
Every time David Wilde's here, Brad Paisley calls him.
They're like besties.
He co-wrote Brad's autobiography. So yeah, they're besties. They go to Dodger games and all that stuff together. All right, it's Tough Life. Unless you're David Wilde.
It's a tough life. Race your Mercedes, Benz through the pub at the midnight.
It's not reggae, but it has like a little
right,
bit of a reggae guitar in there.
There's always someone around to lift your spirits up. All along, just pumping up your attitude. Don't believe a word they say, cause it's never true. Isn't it a tough life? You got a tough life. You can't have it, you don't want it. You must get a job. Well, isn't it a tough life?
We got one more.
Yes. Fire and Ice.
That's such a great song.
It's so good.
You can't not pick it.
Right.
You got to pick it.
Yeah.
It's like you and me, Fire and Ice.
You're giving me the fever tonight. I don't want to give in. I've been playing with fire. You forget I've seen you work before. Take them straight to the top. Leave them crying.
Them who wrote this song?
Let me see who wrote Fire and Ice. Tom Kelly of the aforementioned Kelly Steinberg.
Oh, uh-huh.
With the guitar player at the time, Scott Sheets and Pat.
Oh.
Great song.
Yes, and I like how there's pop like themes, but it's not cliche. It's,
right.
You know what I mean? Like it's still lyrically fun and interesting, and just keeps it out of being like a cliche. There's clever enough to have a little bite, I think, just in general.
It seems like she sings full voice on every song. Like it's just like,
yes.
Like how many takes did they do? I mean,
I'm curious.
I bet she just went in there and hit it out of the park, like in one or two takes.
I mean, I'm guessing.
I mean, yeah. It's just, the voice is just, look, the voice is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous.
It's crazy.
I mean.
But it's not, but she doesn't oversing. You know how some people can oversing?
Sure.
Like, I saw Daryl Hall a couple weeks ago, and that fucking guy is oversinging. Like,
really?
He's adding all these runs to the songs.
Okay. Does he sound good?
I'm going to tell you this.
Okay.
I've seen Hall & Oates in the past like 6 or 7 years. I've seen them like 4 times.
Okay.
The last 2 times I saw Hall & Oates, Daryl is immediately fighting with his sound guy. Mm. Like he's looking off to the side and he has all these like, these hand gestures that he does. Like he's like, pulls his hands out like this, like make the sound fatter. And then he's like, bring it down and like points up. And it's just like, it's insane. Uh-huh. So a couple weeks ago, I go to see Todd Rundgren open for solo Daryl Hall.
Okay.
Because Daryl Hall has a solo retrospective album out of all his solo albums. So he's doing his solo material, and then he's going to do a handful of Hall & Oates songs. So I go with Mike Schmidt, and I tell him the story about the sound guy and how I go, and be prepared, that might happen. But I'm just joking, because I don't think it's going to happen. First song, Daryl starts gesturing to the side, and we're cracking up. It's ridiculous. And this goes on for 7 or 8 songs.
Mm.
And the sound's bad. It's not good. Like, okay, he's like,
so he is justified.
He's justified. And then he says this, and this really pissed me off. He said, I'm sorry about this. I don't do a sound check.
Oh.
First of all, do a sound check.
Yeah, hi.
And second of all, don't tell the crowd that paid, I don't know, $75, $100 a ticket that you didn't do a sound check and we just sat through 8 shitty songs.
Mm.
I got free tickets, so I don't care.
Right.
But yeah, why would you tell people that you don't do a sound check? Todd Rundgren sounded amazing. I assume he did a sound check.
Sure.
And the band was the Live at Daryl's House band. They played with Todd and then with Daryl.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was just, but it's hysterical if you see him do this.
Well, Daryl Hall is older than we think. Like, I looked him up like 10 years ago and he was like 70.
Yeah, I think he's 75.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
But Todd is this just about the same age. Daryl Hall is 75.
Okay.
But Todd Rundgren is, I think, also up there. And Todd sounded amazing that night. And Todd seemed to care. Todd is 73. So, okay. I mean, it's 2 years apart.
How amazing is it that Mick Jagger got COVID and then days later is back on the road?
He's 79, I believe.
I regret not going to that concert. I either found out about it too late or I'm mad at myself that I didn't
Did
go.
COVID keep you from going, maybe? That
no,
was like one
I
of
didn't
my...
even know about it until I saw you and Mike going. I'm like, now I'm not only am I mad that I missed this, but I'm mad I didn't get that invitation.
What? We didn't go.
You went.
I wish I did.
Oh, no.
That would have been awesome. Next time.
But I just didn't. I don't know why it wasn't on my radar, I guess. Yeah. But that is amazing to me that he's like, I'm getting back in there and I'm going to sing.
And here, I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but he sounds the same. And I don't know if that's because he doesn't have a voice like Pat Benatar,
right,
which could, you know, over the years, you need to turn it down a
right,
key
like
or
Robert,
whatever.
See Robert Plant.
Right.
Yes.
Mick doesn't never had that kind of a voice.
Right.
I mean, he could sing high stuff, you know, like Miss You and stuff. But but he just sounds the same. And the body looks the same. The face is craggier and he dyes the hair, sure, but he's got hair. When you see it, you're like, there's Mick Jagger. That's Mick Jagger up there. And he's running. He's running around and jumping and dancing. And you're just like, what the hell? How
Good
is it possible?
Him.
Yeah. My brother said, how was that show? I go, I couldn't believe how good it was for being 2022.
Right.
It was better than it ever should have been. It was a 10.
Well, and so Mick, I assume, because I've seen his like workout clips,
yeah,
takes good care of himself, yeah, but Keith doesn't, and I'm sure he still sounds great, and it's all
He just stands there, and Keith has quit smoking.
Okay,
and
well, that's
he said he feels energized. He just quit like months ago.
Okay,
and he feels energized. But yeah, Ronnie and Keith, they're firing on all cylinders.
I love it. And I'm just so bummed, but I've got to tell you, I know I say this every time I see you. Brian Johnson needs to, I know he is getting up there too. One more tour. I just want one more tour.
I think they're really I think they're really waiting until it's really clear from COVID.
Okay.
So maybe 2023. I thought it would happen this year, but no sign of it.
But you think it's going to happen?
I do think they'll do another tour. I
mean, then that'll be it.
Yeah. I mean, those Axl Rose shows can't be the last AC/DC shows of all time. No way.
I hope not.
Yeah. I definitely think they're going to do one farewell tour.
Okay. And no, because I've got my son involved with
It'll be when Johnny's at camp.
Oh, no, it can't be. But
you have a lot of stipulations on AC/DC.
Well,
can't be when Johnny's at camp.
Can't be. Well, that's it, though.
It's got to be Brian Johnson.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But also, he's into Stevie Wonder now. So I'm like, God, is he going to, do we get any more out of Stevie Wonder, do we think?
I don't, does Stevie even do shows?
I looked it up and he did years ago, I think before COVID. Not like a, maybe a full tour, but.
I feel like he's a, he would be a Las Vegas residency guy.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
That, all right.
I feel like that would be like Stevie Wonder, like Elton John played the hits for an hour and 45 minutes. Put Stevie out there. He plays the hits. Give you a couple of deep tracks for the diehards.
Okay.
I think that would be great.
Ugh.
I don't know why any band that doesn't really want to tour just doesn't. Like AC/DC could easily go, yeah, we want to do a Vegas residency for 3 months. They'd be like, fine.
Yeah. They would sell out every show.
Celine Dion has the best job ever. She gets a car, picks her up at her house.
Mm.
She goes, she probably has her makeup and everything done at her house, drives over to Caesars.
Yeah.
Puts a fancy dress on, walks out on stage, and then she's back and tucks her kids in bed.
Yeah.
And makes a gazillion dollars doing what she loves.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's, yeah.
All right. Get Nervous. I love this album cover.
Uh-huh.
With the crazy hair and the straight jacket and the padded room. I love it.
Yeah. It's the other ones have been, the covers are great and iconic.
Yeah.
But this one had a little sense of humor.
Yeah.
In a way that's not, you know.
You don't, you really don't think of Pat Benatar in sense of humor. Not that she doesn't have one. She's
right.
Just, you know. She's just a rocker.
Yeah.
So what do you got?
Shadows of the Night.
And who's in the video?
Bill Paxton.
Is Bill Paxton in the video?
Oh, yeah. No, is there someone else?
Judge Reinhold's in the video. Are you getting Judge Reinhold and Bill Paxton confused?
No. Bill Paxton is
definitely
is
in
from
it?
Fort Worth, Texas. And
all
that
right.
was his first, because, right, it was like a World War II thing?
Yeah.
Well, Bill Paxton's in it.
Well, I got to watch it later, because Judge Reinhold's definitely in it.
Okay.
He's got a red baseball cap on. He's chewing some gum.
Okay. That's funny. I don't remember him, but I yeah, anyway.
And with these videos are so goofy. Like, back then, we were like,
so
look, this is like a mini movie. It's not really a mini movie, folks.
I know, but it's still... When it's done well, it sticks in your mind forever and ever.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, Shadows of the Night.
Yes.
It's undeniable.
Undeniable.
Because this intro is...
It's bananas.
We're running with the shadows of the night. So baby, take my hand, it'll be all right.
Yeah, the vocals are doubled right there.
All the pain you've ever felt. Ransom my heart.
Who's the songwriter of that one?
Someone named David Lee Byron. So I don't know how that song.
Oh. I don't know that.
No, me neither. I mean, this could be the only song that he ever wrote.
But wow. Well,
I can tell you that Neil co-writes 6 of the 10 on this album, and he also co-produces. So he's asserting himself big time into the proceedings. I will also tell you that the keyboard player on this album, and he was in the band at the time, Charlie Giordano, is now, and he's been for years, he's in the E Street Band.
Oh.
He replaced Danny Federici when he passed away.
Okay.
So, who knew that guy would have an amazing career?
I want to put that song in something. It's such a great, like, powerful, but also kind of fun and like, I don't know. I just, I think it's so good.
No,
I just love it.
No, that song is tailor-made to be in like a comedy. Right?
Yes.
Now. Yeah. It's just one of those songs.
It's earnest, but yet, it can kind of be both things. It can be both sincere, but also a little cheeky. Like, I don't know. I love it.
I mean, the easiest thing is that you put it in one of those scenes where, you know, a group of people do the slow walk. I mean, I'm tired of that scene, but that song would work for that.
Sure.
All right. My favorite song on this album, I didn't pick it because I've played it so many times, so I'm not going to play it, but it's Little Too Late.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that song. That's my favorite song on the whole album. And then the one you just played. So instead, I chose, what did I pick? Where is it? Looking for a Stranger.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
Some fun keyboard.
Yes, fun. That 80s flair, but not in a way that is cringy.
Yeah, like I could hear any of these songs now live in concert and they wouldn't feel dated to me. I don't know why, you know, some bands do, but this doesn't. Now before we move on to the next album, which is Tropico.
Yes.
And this is where the album quality starts to dip for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's still great songs on all the albums.
Yes.
But as albums, they're not good. They're not good albums. They got some singles. But we can't forget they released an album called Live from Earth, and there were two studio tracks on that album, and one of them is this.
Who knew she could dance? That video looms so large. I can't not think of that video and her whole getup.
How old is she supposed to be in the video? Because her dad throws her out of the house. I'm like, she's not 18 in this video.
You know, but as a kid, you don't even think of that. Right. Like now we can
now
watch that and laugh. But I just didn't even dawn on me. And Cyndi Lauper too. It was always dad and mom and, you know.
Move out of the house, 33-year-old.
But they probably, I don't know. She's probably still in her 20s. I don't know.
I don't think Lauper was in that video.
Okay.
Girls just want to have fun. I think Lauper was 30.
You think?
I think so.
Good for her.
I never liked Love is a Battlefield until I heard it live.
Oh.
Because live, it's not... The studio track is a lot overproduced for me.
Okay.
But live, I was like, oh, this is really, really great. The bass is great. Everything is really live. It takes on a whole new thing for me.
Okay.
Still a great song. I just never gelled to it in the studio version. Mm. All right. Tropico, 1984. This song is so good that the album can't follow it. There's no song as good as this on the album. It's probably in my top three, not Cyndi Lauper, Pat Benatar songs of all time. I love this song so much. I never get sick of it, but the album is not good.
And we both picked that song, right?
We both picked
it.
Okay. Because it's undeniable.
Yes.
Do you want to introduce it?
We Belong.
All right.
Many times I tried to tell you, many times I cried alone. Boys, I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone.
It is so good. This album also went platinum, but then after this album, they stopped going platinum because I think...
Who wrote that song?
This song was written by Eric Lowen and Dan Navarro. And I forget the story. I think it just came like in a cassette came across their desk and they listened to it. I think it was one of those things like they didn't really like it, but then they thought they'd work on it and then they just made it their own. But that song is so, I was so disappointed with this album because I saw that video, I heard that song on the radio and I thought this album is going to be amazing. And then it was just like, ugh, it's not. Like I'm looking at these songs. I didn't even pick one more because I just can't. I mean, Ooh Ooh Song.
Right. It's funny. I clicked on that and I'm like, oh, it's almost there for me. Yeah. But because, you know.
Painted Desert. I mean, you know, this album is just doesn't get a spin from me ever. But that song does always.
Yeah. It's really something.
All right. Then we move along to 1985, Seven the Hard Way. I like the title because it's her seventh album. Yeah. Seven the Hard Way. And you got a song from, what was the Legend of Billie Jean with Helen Slater?
Yes.
Who I saw at the Coffee Bean in Studio City.
Wow.
Like I was in there and this woman walked in and I was like, I know her. And I was like, I thought it was like, that's a mom from the school or that's, super attractive, looked great, no make, hardly any makeup. But I'm like, she just looked like, oh yeah, a really good looking mom from the school. And I was just like, was she in grade? Were the kids in grade school? Was it? And then I was like, oh no, wait a minute. That's Supergirl. That is Supergirl.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how your brain does that?
Yeah.
I did that with, I was going into, like my son was in some social skills class or something. And I walk into this room and a man is there sitting there and I go, hey, and it's the drummer from the Chili Peppers. Isn't that the guy that looks like Will Ferrell?
What's his name?
Chad Smith.
He's super tall too.
And it was just, and I was like, hey, and then I was so embarrassed. But what was so funny is while we were sitting there waiting for our kids, he was literally, his hands practicing. Could not stop tapping on the chair. I thought that was so funny.
Did he say hey back?
He was real, yes. It was like, hey, like it was just, because it's a small room, like a waiting room that's this size. Uh-huh. And, hey.
I'm not going to lie. I still love seeing celebrities in like.
Oh, yes.
Just the regular places. Like we used to take Ezra to this, it was just like, it was one of those where you go for like an hour and it's like, it's an indoor gym type thing.
Yes, yes.
But it's a set class time. So you sign up for the 2 o'clock hour or whatever. And like, we would go there and like Tandy Newton would be there
with
her kid. And she would just be sitting next to you. And you know, she'd just be like, oh, is that your daughter? Oh, what's her? I really like that haircut. Who cut her hair? And I'm just like,
wow.
Tandy Newton from Mission Impossible 2 is who I'm talking to. And who else was in there? Jeff Garland would bring his kid.
Whoa.
And his kid was just like a big bruiser. A kid was just like, ah. And Jeff Garland would just like fall down on the floor. And I thought he was going to take a nap while I was there. He was not involved in all.
Oh my God. Well, the fact that he was there.
He was there.
It was something.
And who else was there? I mean, there was always just someone. I'm like, what's going on? And then the one girl that ran the place, her name was Tina Jones. Mm. And just, you know, after going there for a while, she's Quincy Jones's daughter.
Oh.
And Rashida Jones's sister. And she's just like this, just it would come out and she, oh yeah, my dad took me there. We, you know, he was getting an award. And I'm like, what? Who's your dad?
Oh my gosh.
I love
at Sushi Spot, I had seen Jason Momoa once, and because I used to, I don't know, back before COVID, I would every now and then I just go have a dinner by myself, and I would either bring a script or a magazine or something
that I,
but one time, with the first time I saw Momoa, well, I heard him, and this person just Sushi Spot is very small.
Yeah.
And this loud booming voice that, you'd be like, who is it? What is that? And then as he gets up to leave and very cordial and whatever, I'm like, oh my God, it's Jason Momoa. So Johnny and I have made it a tradition to go to Sushi Spot. And this was, oh Lord, a couple years ago. And we went and sat down and there was Momoa, Lisa Bonet, and children. And I am like, oh my God, but I don't want to tell Johnny because he is at this point old enough to realize like, people, like he's right. sentient, and I don't know how he's going to react. Right. So I don't tell him. And at one point, like he laughed or something, and Johnny kind of looked over and like whatever, because he's seen Aquaman at this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so as they leave, I go, Johnny, that was Aquaman. He's like, why didn't you tell me? I'm like, I didn't know what you would say or do, and I didn't want to. Like, I just didn't want to. I want to these people yeah. to feel like they can be among us and
exactly,
that we're not going
right.
to bother them.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know. And I'm anyway. That was Aquaman.
Well, you don't know my Jason Momoa stories?
No.
Okay, first of all, I have a sting that someone made for me for when I tell stories more than once. So here,
okay.
let's hear it.
Okay. I can only have a scene that's got a story to repeat. All right. So good.
All right. So, where do I start? Okay. So the Whole Foods right down the street.
Yes.
First of all, I have to get a tissue because when that came on really loud, I think I blew up.
You blew a gasket?
I blew something out of my nose. Okay. Okay.
Now, but you'll cut that out, right?
No.
Do you cut that out? No?
No. All it's right. Everyone blows their nose or something happens.
No.
All right. So we're at the Whole Foods one day and I see Lisa Bonet.
Okay.
And I'm with Pilar and I go, that's Lisa Bonet over there. And Pilar says, oh, she doesn't look too good, does she? I'm like, no, she looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And Pilar's like, she's really skinny. I go, yeah, okay. But so now I love Jason Momoa.
Uh-huh.
So as we leave, I say to Pilar, I go, I know I'm going to see Jason Momoa here now. I know I'm going to. So it's December and Pilar needs something for, you know, the holidays. And I said, I'll get down to Whole Foods and get it. Maybe I'll see Jason Momoa. I say this out loud. I go down and I'm just, you know, looking around, getting the stuff. And I'm back by the meat counter. And I just hear like a guy, the meat guy puts like, you know, meat up on the counter. Like, there you go. And I hear this guy go, thanks, bro. And I was like, that's Jason Momoa. And I turn and there he is. He has a
yeah.
pink t-shirt on, but it's like cut, like the arms are
yes,
cut.
Yes, of course it
and,
is.
And he's with the two daughters who are gorgeous
yes.
because of look at the jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, you know, and I'm just like, he's massive and he's just
yes.
there. And this woman turns the corner and she freezes and she oh. says, it's you. And he says, bring it in.
No.
And gives her a hug. And I was just like, what is going on? This is
wow.
insane.
Wow.
And then that was it. Then, you know, I just watched them, you know, do their shopping. He's pushing the cart. Kids are in the cart. And I was just like, this is crazy.
I love that.
So I come home and I tell Pilar this story. And she's like, I can't believe that you ran into your man crush. It's a whole year later. Same scenario. Pilar needs something for the holiday dinner or whatever. And she said, I'm going to go down to Whole Foods. And I said, I'll go with you. Maybe we'll see Jason Momoa. And she goes, shut up. Just knock it off. I don't want to hear about your man crush. We get there. We're in the store doing our thing, looking around. We get to the back of the store and I look like down, like aisles and aisles away. And he's got his hair up in a man bun.
Sure.
And I say to Pilar, I go, look down there. She's like, what? I go, that's Jason Momoa. She's like, how is this happening to you?
Whoa.
So when we're checking out, we're like in aisle 5 and he's like in lane 6. So he's right behind us.
Oh.
A woman steps in aisle 5 behind us who's someone that we know, that we've never seen at the store before. And Pilar goes, oh my God, blah, 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 it's you. And she's like, hey, Pilar, how you doing? This is my husband, Pat, blah, blah, blah. And then Pilar says, did you see Jason Momoa?
No.
And I go, he's right behind us. And she's like, no. So if he heard us, he didn't care, or just he didn't hear us. But it was crazy. I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
You love seeing mm-hmm. someone who it makes a ton of money
mm-hmm.
and is very successful, but also just whether he's faking it or not, I don't know, but that he's exuding like what's the word I'm looking
charm,
for?
Charm, grace.
Well, when you appreciate something, it's you are grateful.
Grateful,
like
yes,
just,
yeah.
He is, and I love that. And yeah. and at the sushi spot, like as he left, someone was looking. There's a good Lord, why am I not finding my words right now? Maybe because the air conditioner hasn't been on for a little bit. But anyway, the TV, some baseball or something. And so someone engaged him and he was like, yeah. And what, like, just open.
Yeah,
and
just,
I love that when people are appreciative. And I think that's a cool thing because, you know, people just get up in his face all the time.
Yeah. Do you want me to turn the air conditioner back on?
Because
I can.
I'm fine. I'll survive.
We're almost done. I'll tell you this. Pilar's, it's like, it was her mom's stepbrother. He was visiting once when we lived down in the Fairfax district, and he had his like 12-year-old kid with him. And the kid was kind of being crabby, and we're like, what's wrong with him? And he's like, we're in Hollywood, and he thought we'd see celebrities all the time. We're not seeing any celebrities. So, we lived just below Melrose. So we went up to there was a Johnny Rockets on Melrose. So me and Pilar and him and the son, we go up there and we walk in and I turn to him. I go, does your kid like sports? And he's like, yeah. I go, well, there's Shaquille O'Neal.
Whoa.
And Shaquille O'Neal is sitting in a chair and he's taller than all of us.
Sure.
And there was no one in Johnny Rockets, but Shaquille and like two girls and another guy, they're just eating burgers and us. So we go over to the table and the dad's like, what do we do? What should we do? I go, just send him over. It's a kid. Your kid's 12. He's going to say hello. So he's like, all right. So the kid goes over and Shaq's like, hey, man, you know, high five, signs on a napkin. Nice to meet you. And then the kid comes over and he's pleased as punch.
Hmm.
Yeah. And he was like, come on. If Momoa gets recognized, Shaq, while he was still playing, is surely.
I mean,
there's no one bigger.
I love that Momoa let that woman touch him.
Oh my God.
I love that.
Bring it in.
I just, that is so goddamn sweet.
He said, bring it in.
Ah.
All right. Invincible.
Yes.
That's where it went.
That's where we're going.
All right. Tangent. Big time. Celeb talk.
This bloody road remains a mystery.
I love it when you're a teen, you know, everything is do or die.
Right.
It was so serious.
Yes.
I love that because that's what you feel like.
Pilar was in a theater camp and Helen Slater and Kira Sedgwick were both in the camp. And Pilar said they were really mean.
Really?
Those two girls, they were mean girls.
Oh, I don't like hearing that.
No. It's sad. It's sad because Kevin Bacon seems so nice.
Yeah,
so maybe
sure.
Kira Sedgwick must be nice now.
Well, you know what?
Teen girl.
People grow out of that.
Yeah.
I really do.
Girls are mean, though.
Oh, for sure. But I do think that they grow out of that.
All right. Here's another big song that was on 7 the Hard Way. This is, and please, Christy, stop using sex as a weapon.
Oh.
Also written by Tom Kelly and Billy Steinberg.
Oh.
This album is just okay also.
Yeah.
It takes a dip in quality. Now, Christy, you're out of songs. I'm just going to fill in a couple of gaps.
All right.
With just like two or three songs.
Okay.
1988, album comes out called Wide Awake in Dreamland. And again, I get super excited for a Pat Benatar album.
Sure.
Because this song is so great. and it's all fired up.
Ah, yes.
So good.
Living with my eyes closed, going day to day. I never knew the difference. I never cared either way. Looking for a reason, searching for a sign. Reaching out with both hands. I gotta feel the kick inside.
So that song was produced by Keith Forsey, who produced all the big Billy Idol songs.
Mm.
But he didn't produce the album. He only produced that one track. And that track is far and away the best album, I mean, the best song on the album. I can't form sentences tonight either. I'm having trouble.
Maybe
what...
something's being piped in here that maybe. We're just a little looped.
Yeah, maybe some of someone melted down some of Murray's gummies is putting them through the system.
I am curious, like what... because a lot of this isn't just her. I think a lot of artists that happens to, unless somebody dies. Like if someone dies, Led Zeppelin, guess what? All that stuff is great.
Yes.
But what do you, because I do, I understand how you're, when you're hungry and you're, is different than like when you're rich, successful. What do you have to sing about? What do you have to, but. Can you also not judge what's good and bad? And I find that with any kind of artists, movies or whatever, I'll be like, how is either A, does this person think this good is good, or B, do the people around this person not want to tell this person like, this isn't all there. This isn't, I don't know. It's just an,
yeah, I don't know either. And when you're an artist or you do something creative, do you want to hear that? I mean, do you want to hear that? Do I want to hear it? I don't know.
Right. I'll tell you, because no one gives a shit about me. Everyone has been very honest with things that they like or don't like. And I'll tell you, I think it's made me better. I mean, it's certainly hearing certain criticisms isn't great.
Yeah.
But if you're not as at a certain level, nobody's afraid to tell you what at least they look at as the truth. But I'll tell you, being underestimated is not a terrible place to be, because then you can get better. You can take those whatever feedback and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm sure that once you get to a certain level, it's, oh my gosh, this sounds great.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either. It's an interesting thing.
I do think some artists are able to make solid albums throughout their whole career. And I think some can't. You have the heyday.
Right.
And I think Pat Benatar is one of those. I also think Cyndi Lauper is one of those people. I'm not choosing all women. I'm just, those are just people we've talked about. But I thought Tom Petty was pretty stellar the entire career.
Yeah. I think it's about, and Mark Knopfler, his solo stuff is great. Like he would find very interesting things to write about. Like he has that one song about Mason and Dixon, making the Mason Dixon line, or like it just stuff that like, all right, I'm a rich person. I'm very comfortable.
Right.
Where can I find inspiration that like, or I'm with my partner of whatever years, I'm not hungry for love and all that stuff, finding what that inspiration is later in life when you have everything you, and finding things to say. What do you have to say when you have everything that you want?
Yep. Yeah. It's.
I hope to get to that place someday.
Very soon.
Well, I don't know.
2023.
Well,
that's what I'm thinking.
Who knows?
So then there's a string of albums that, you know, are okay. Gravity's Rainbow and In Amarado. And she does a song for the Speed soundtrack. You know, I would have thought Pat Benatar would have been all over 80s movie soundtracks. Like, I would have thought that everyone would have wanted Pat Benatar on their soundtrack. And really, she really kind of wasn't.
Well, I think that's, there is a vibe that those all male directors wanted to put out there, and that doesn't surprise me.
Well, they certainly had Kenny Loggins on speed dial.
Yes, I'm going to go see him. By the way, he's coming to the Bowl, I think, and with Messina.
He is, and that's the only two dates they're doing. They're only doing it at the
really
Hollywood Bowl.
Okay.
Okay, I saw Kenny Loggins last year at the Starlight Bowl in Burbank.
Mm, how was it?
He hits every note.
Oh my gosh.
And he tell stories. At least that's what he was doing the night I saw him.
Love
he would
it.
Tell some stories between the songs. He hit every note. Like, he sang Forever, you know, that big power ballad.
Well, I don't remember that, but I'm
if you
sure,
heard it,
okay.
you would know it. And I was just like, well, there's no way he's going to hit this note. And he did.
Wow.
And it's him. It's him because it's he's singing. You know what I'm saying?
Great.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, great. Like, I've never seen him. I've liked his music.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But a friend is like, oh, I got these tickets. Do you want to go? And I'm like, you know, yes. Yes.
It's like the front part of the show was like all hits. And then there's like three in the middle that you might not know. And then boom, closes
That's when
out
I go
with all hits.
Get my wine
yep.
at that time.
And then he closes it out super strong.
Okay.
When he was on the show, I asked him about the song Playing with the Boys from Top Gun.
Oh, yes.
The one that plays during the volleyball.
Okay.
And he said, all these artists went, they took all these musicians to a screening and everyone wanted to write the opening song. And he said, when that volleyball scene came up, I thought to myself, I'm going to write a song for this scene because no one wants to write a song for this scene. Because his theory thing was, I just want to get a song on this soundtrack.
Okay.
If I can get a song on this soundtrack,
wow.
that's going to be big money.
Okay.
So I forget who, I think Jefferson Starship was going to do Danger Zone.
Really?
And then they decided not to. And so they liked the soundtrack people, they liked Playing with the Boys. So they asked Kenny if he also wanted to sing
Whoa.
Danger Zone. He was like, yeah. And I think he maybe changed a couple lines. I think he might have a credit on Danger Zone too, a writing credit.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing.
That he
knew no one's going to want to write a scene for this homoerotic volleyball scene. So I will. And I'll get on the soundtrack.
I love that.
Yeah, pretty great. Okay, this is from the Speed soundtrack. In case you didn't know, she was on that soundtrack. And this is a cover. And you'll know this song.
Rescue me and take me in your arms. Rescue me.
It's a cover.
Yeah. I want to tell.
I don't remember in the movie either. Maybe it's over the end credits.
Maybe.
I don't know. All right.
She's great. I mean,
she's good.
She sounds
great.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I said she's good. I didn't mean that. I mean, she's great. So we're done. Yeah. I have a playout song. Let's promote a little bit. I mean, we're not going to go deep with these other albums because they're not great. We're going to leave you with the good stuff.
Yeah. And she's that enough is to get her into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, come on.
Absolutely. Those
yes.
first four albums are enough. And those
yes.
Grammy Awards and that voice and all
those anthems.
All of it.
Yes.
All of it. Okay. Christy, are you active on Instagram?
I am on Insta. Yes. At Christy Stratton. And I'm on Twitter. Four people that will respond to me are all listeners, and they're all great. I love interacting with the listeners. They are so terrific, and
it's a good group of people.
Yes,
it really is. Yeah, I always say that the At Rock Solid Show Twitter is just great. Just people talking about music and having
yes,
a good time.
It's
you know, when people say Twitter sucks, I'm like, go over here, because this is where some good stuff's happening here.
Yeah, people will remember things that you don't think that anyone else remembers about music or whatever, and it's so fun.
Yeah, it is good. It's good. And anything you can tell us, any upcoming things that you can tell us, just a lot of irons in the fire.
Well, there's a show I wrote for on Netflix called Free Ridge, and it's a spinoff of their show On My Block. It's a YA series,
okay.
and they're shooting it now, and I think they'll release it in the beginning of next year. You know, they hold on things.
Were you on staff, or did you just write an episode or two?
I was on staff. I was a co-EP, and I wrote an episode.
That's it. Well, tell me what the show's about.
Well, it's On My Block takes place in an inner city outside of LA,
okay.
in this fictional place of Free Ridge. And my friend Lauren Unerich, who created Awkward, I worked for her on Awkward, and then she created On My Block, and then they wanted a spinoff. She has a big deal there at the
That's
Netflix.
Great.
And she called and says, hey, do you know any co-EPs that are good at story? And I'm like, well, I know one. And I was meaning myself, of course.
Of course.
And she's like, oh my gosh, if we could get you, you know, that would be great. And I'm like, yeah, these orders are so short. Like, this was 12 weeks of work. So I'm like, I would love to, because I love Lauren, and we laughed a lot.
That's
and it's
good.
It's very kind of female driven, whereas the other show was just all the kids. This is kind of sisters, and it was just a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
So look for Free Ridge in 2023.
Yes.
And it's Netflix, so they'll all drop at one time and you can binge it.
Yes. Yeah. It's really fun. I mean, it's a YA show for sure, but it is so fun. And, yeah.
That's great. I didn't even know you worked on that. Congratulations. I'm excited. No. All right. You can find us at Rock Solid Show. You can go to rocksolidpodcast.com for all things about the show, episodes and everything. And we're going to close it out with a song that she doesn't even like to sing anymore. So she kind of just lets the audience sing this one. But I think she should embrace it because it was gigantic.
Yes.
It's Hit Me With Your Best Shot. Thank you, Christy Stratton.
Thanks for having me.
And you're going
to... I'll go back to my room.
Get back in there. Christy Rella. Clean up that room. All right. See you, everybody.